The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
And a good morning, everybody, on this Thursday, the 23rd day of June, 2022. How's everybody doing? We all good? We all good, good, good. It is a day of Supreme Court decisions, and we get another one. We get the bonus plan tomorrow. They've added a day of Supreme Court decisions. Now, what might that be about? Usually there are 2 days, and it's often Monday, Thursday, and this week got bumped to Tuesday because of the Juneteenth holiday, and so the whole thing is kind of on a sliding scale. But then yesterday came the announcement that, oh, hey, there's going to be another day of Supreme Court decisions, and that will be tomorrow. So we get some today. We get some tomorrow. There are about a dozen left. And the big enchilada, of course, is the Dobbs case out of Mississippi that could overturn Roe v. Wade. There's the case out of New York where if the court has its constitutionalist head screwed on straight, they will say that New York makes it way too hard for you to get a gun to protect yourself. And then out of Washington State, Coach Joe, the football coach, who said, look, after a football game is over, high school, I'm going to hit the middle of the field and I'm going to kneel and pray. Those who want to do so can do so with me. You don't have to. Is that the establishment of religion? Is that like having Bible class in third period of a public school? It's not. And Coach Joe deserves to win as well. So those are the three big, big, big cases left. There's no necessary indication that any of those will come today or tomorrow because there are ruling release dates on the calendar for next week as well. This may come bumping right up to the July 4th weekend. And I don't know, and maybe this is too glib. In fact, Mike Gallagher, whom we will speak with at 7:35, as we always do, he said something like he had heard buzz, like the smart money is on the early next week. And I said, look, I don't know if, A, I don't know if there is smart money in this. Maybe, I don't know. But I said, wouldn't it just make sense for the justices, if they are going to rule in favor of the state of Mississippi and its ability to have an abortion ban at 15 weeks, which would obliterate the Roe v. Wade viability floor, meaning prior to viability, which these days is the miraculous 23 weeks, a little over halfway through a pregnancy, you can deliver a baby that will survive and thrive and going to be in the NICU for a little while, but they can make it, and they do. And it's remarkable medical science. I've often asked, what are we going to, at some point, if this is linear, of course, maybe it'll be a moot point because abortion will be a thing of the past, as slavery thankfully is. What if all of a sudden we're able to deliver a baby at 15, 16, 17, 18 weeks and just hook it up to amazing technology, let it do the rest of its fetal development and eventually grow and thrive and et cetera, et cetera. You know, so the whole viability thing is such a changeable border. Anyway, though, wouldn't the smart day for the justices to rule on this, especially if they're going to ditch Roe v. Wade, wouldn't be the very last day of decisions? I mean, the very last. And would that be Thursday of next week? Would it be Friday of next week? Is there the chance of some of this, you know, kind of lapsing into July 4th week? Hope not, because I'm on vacation. Yeah, we'll see how that goes. Don't worry, I'm not going anywhere. If I got to come back, I'll come back. The logic being that if you are Samuel Alito, if you are Clarence Thomas, the only sure votes, because God knows John Roberts is not, I hope Barrett, Kavanaugh, and Gorsuch are, but we need five. Let's say it happens with five votes, six votes, however. The justices voting to protect the Constitution, to restore constitutional fidelity by ditching Roe v. Wade. Again, not because I'm pro-life. I don't look for the Supreme Court to do my political bidding. I look for them to honor the Constitution. Those justices who do so had better bump this ruling to the very last day so that they can pretty well bring the moving vans in, pack their houses, and move. I mean, to Bora Bora or something, because they will know no peace. The streets of America will explode with unhinged leftist violence, it seems. Really hope I'm wrong about that. We will see. I could start a sentence. Well, let's pray first, and then I'll start a sentence. Here's a much better sentence to start. Lord, guide us and protect us as we face the challenges of this new day. We thank you every day for this blessed nation and for your hand in creating it. Fill our hearts with the energy to protect the freedoms which come from you, which our nation was founded to protect. Let us navigate these troubling times with a positive spirit, treating others as we would want to be treated. Lord, these are surely times of trial and challenge. Lift us as we follow your word and work for a better America, where our Constitution is honored, our schools are safe, our elections are reliable, our borders work, where we protect the unborn, and we fight for the meaning and the intent of the two genders that you created, and where all of our differences are hashed out with honesty and goodwill, and our freedoms of speech and worship are protected. As we face each day's problems, give us the clarity to look around and cherish our many blessings in our great nation, our state of Texas, our communities, and our families. If we follow you, Lord, we know we can get through anything, and we ask these things in your holy name. Amen. Okay, the sentence I was about to begin involves a day of introspection for your talk show buddy. I've been having a bunch of conversations these last couple of days, and these last couple of months, really. And I'll tell you the large umbrella beneath which they occur. It is the heat that I have occasionally given to people I largely admire, in some cases folks I totally intend to vote for, but whom I wish to imbue with a certain reminder of the conservatism that their voters expect of them. I'm not going to drag you back through a whole bunch of Governor Abbott stuff about the inability of the governor and the Speaker of the House, Dade Phelan, and our legislature, the House mostly, failing to protect our children from gender obliteration. If they wanted to do it, it would happen. It would be outlawed in Arkansas. Arkansas! Governor Asa Hutchinson had a bill in front of him that would have protected children from these outrages. And Governor Asa Hutchinson of Arkansas vetoed it. The legislature said, we're not going to have our boys chemically castrated. We're not going to have our girls carved up like watermelon with so-called top surgery to obliterate the genders that God made and that science defines. And Governor Asa Hutchinson of Arkansas said, nope, I'm vetoing it because that it's government overreach. This should be determined by families and doctors. Governor, if a family has lapsed into the evil of doing this, if there are doctors who are willing to be complicit in this, children need protection. And I don't want to hear doodly squat about government overreach and interfering with a family. By the way, two enormous precepts of conservatism. We're all about government overreach. But when children need protection from evil parents and evil doctors, government is exactly the cure. We are also, as conservatives, the people who talk about leave our families alone. But when families are dysfunctional enough and lapsing into the devil's clutch in order to carve up a 12-year-old girl to make her a boy or chemically castrate a 9-year-old boy, that's a family you break up and you do it today. I don't mean break up as in send them all to Timbuktu. I mean you step in and you say not just no, but hell no, we're not going to allow that. This is next door, Governor Asa Hutchinson in Arkansas. In Texas, with Governor Abbott, we have a gentleman who I will walk on broken glass to help him beat Beto. He's got to do it. But does that mean that I am to be silent with the insufficient? This is not even about conservatism. This is about human decency. Am I to be silent when my state, my so-called, oh, so conservative state of Texas, will not protect children? I will not be silent. I will not get off these people's back. Oh, we got to unite and beat Beto. I know, and we're going to. But if beating Beto and uniting all this stinking unity means that, you know what that always means? It means, hey, conservatives, shut up. The calls for unity mean, hey, constitutionalists, you be quiet, because we gotta get behind whoever our standard bearers are, and we can't say, we can't throw them a molecule of shade because we got to beat Democrats. Part of the reason that I want to beat Democrats is their ideas are terrible and ours are much better. If our standard bearers have X percent of great ideas, but big, big gaps in what they do, I'm going to spend every day reminding them of that. And if that makes Abbott or his people uncomfortable, tough. If John Cornyn is never on this show again, that's on him. Amid this gun-grabbing, red flag law-obsessed gun confiscation fetish that he is foisting upon us. So when I talk about introspection in me, and I don't mean to make everything about me, but for me, for right now, it is for a minute, because it's about what I do and what I'm going to give you every day. I'm not guided by any personal affinity for everybody. I love Governor Abbott. Senator Cornyn has been so kind and gracious to me, to us. Personally, I can't say enough good things about these folks. But what matters is the state. What matters is the country. What matters is our lives. And so when these people do wonderful things, I'm going to say so. When they do terrible things, I'm going to say so. When they don't do enough good things, I'm going to say so. And I had a couple of conversations over the last couple of days with folks who are, I mean, I have friends all over the place, some folks who are just hardcore grassroots, folks who are big-time libertarians, folks who are hardcore, constitutionalist conservatives, folks who are sort of center-right, not as conservative as me, folks who are centrists, folks who are outright liberal, and I love all my friends, and I love talking to a whole bunch of people about a whole bunch of things. In the establishment Republican, don't upset the apple cart community, here's what I'm getting with regard to Cornyn now. I've had more than three people give me this. And it's an old, I think it's an old Reagan adage, so it's going to be good. And that is, if somebody is 80%, if you agree with somebody, about 80% of stuff, disagree 20, that's an ally, it's not an enemy. I know, of course, I know that. But if the 20%, if in that 80-20 split, if the 20% contains egregious things, we cannot be silent. We will not be silent. Yesterday, the NRA talked about this infernal gun confiscation measure, and that's exactly what it is. And the NRA's quote is as follows. This legislation can be abused to restrict lawful gun purchases, infringe upon the rights of law-abiding Americans, and use federal dollars to fund gun control measures. The NRA, in this regard, is 1,000% correct. And that means that John Cornyn now will insult the NRA.
They have a membership and a business model that will not allow them to support any legislation. And so I understand where they're coming from, but I think most people will not allow any outside group to veto good public policy.
Sweet God in heaven.
who, I was going to say who abducted John Cornyn and left us this guy. But if I say that, I can hear so many of you say, Mark, my talk show buddy, this has always been him. And my, listen, I've got a Newsweek column coming out probably tomorrow, and it's about this, and it's about him. And I said, when Cornyn was elected 2002, he had 10 years before Ted Cruz arrived, and Texas deepened as a red state. Then Ted Cruz arrives, and John Cornyn begins to suffer by comparison. Cornyn's major sin, you know, for 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, was that he was not Ted Cruz. And I would say, listen, I know he's not Ted Cruz, but he's not John McCain or Mitt Romney either. So, you know, on balance, and everybody said, well, we're going to primary Cornyn. And I said, knock yourself out. You're going to lose and lose badly. And the primary challengers always did. And everybody's talking about that now, and that's just whatever. He's not up for re-election until 2026. He'll be 74 years old. He may not even run anymore. And in between there, in 2024, if we get Trump back or we get President DeSantis, we're going to be so doggone happy. And every Republican, even the moderate squishes like Susan Collins, even the snakes like Mitt Romney, are going to get some goodwill for being a part of helping the country dig out of the Biden nightmare. So this notion, well, we're going primary Cornyn in 2026. A, he may not even run. B, that's a million years from now. Let's talk about the here and the now, where the betrayal of the Constitution is at hand. It is at hand. And Trump made Cornyn better. Trump made Mitch McConnell better. And but guess what? Trump's gone, at least from elected office. So here's McConnell and Cornyn yesterday.
It does not so much as touch the rights of the overwhelming majority of American gun owners who are law-abiding citizens of sound mind.
It's a lie. It's a damnable lie.
As a whole, our goal is to save lives without infringing the rights of law-abiding gun owners, and I think we've hit that mix.
This is sick. This is sick, and I will not be silent. We're in Arkansas. This is cool. Hey, Janice, Mark Davis, how are you?
Hey, Mark, how are you today?
I'm good.
Hey, I moved from the great state of Texas in 2020 to Arkansas to retire, and so glad that the app, so I take you with me every morning.
Thank you. I'm so glad to.
Yeah. I thought I'd just give you a little the scuttlebutt of what is said here in Arkansas about why they think Asa has just gone so woke.
Mm-hmm.
As he leaves the governorship, he wants to be on the board of Walmart, and you have to toe the wokeness line.
Isn't it heartbreaking that so he wants to be on a corporate board, and it's time for woke corporate America? Isn't it sad that Walmart is on the list of boardrooms where wokeness has spread its infection?
It is, yeah. It is, and so that's the big because we're all scratching our head, going, you know, I'm new here, so but. Sarah Huckabee Sanders is going to be the next.
Yes, she is, and she will bring clarity to that post, and it is sorely needed. Well, I'll tell you what, if Governor Hutchinson, who I've had a lot of good things to say about, he's been in Congress, he's been a good governor. He's one of those great examples of a guy who's, he's the 80%, he's 80% great. But if the 20% contains, I am willing to see the chemical castration of children, if the 20% contains, I am willing to see gun confiscation and these stupid red flag laws, if that's in the 20%, I'm going to give you holy hell about it every day, because it is conservatism and not any given election that drives me. It's conservatism and not any given friendship that drives me. It's conservatism and not any personal relationship or who comes on the show and who doesn't that drives me. Janice, God bless. Thank you. 726.
Kiss me, baby. Let the fire get higher.
Little Steve Miller Band. Abracadabra. Album of this title released, get ready kids, 40 years ago this week. Ah, yes. Helping everybody feel old, it's the Mark Davis Show. All right, it is Thursday. Let's get into the newsroom where Nikki Whaley is filling in for Gordon Griffin. And then our talk show buddy Mike Gallagher has stuff for us, and I got stuff for him. It's just the wonderful mixture and magic of our segment together. But first up in the newsroom, here's Nikki.
We got married in a fever, hotter than a pepper sprout. We've been talking about Jackson ever since the fire went out.
On the radio for seven-year-old Mike Galler, 1967 Mike, Johnny Cash, and June Carter Cash, born this date, 1929. June, country royalty herself, coming out of the Carter family, AP, Maybell, Sarah Carter, who were big in like the 20s. But then June Carter Cash is his bride from the 60s all the way till his death. So June Carter Cash with a birthday. Howdy, how are you?
Good morning. I love it when there's a commercial that's a popular commercial that brings back a legend like Johnny Cash. I've been everywhere, huh?
Absolutely.
What's the brand? What is that? I can't think of what the company is, but they're using it. Is it a car commercial?
I don't know.
Somebody knows.
I'm sure
they know. And I'll get the answer on the MyPillow text line.
MyPillow text line, 1-800-655-MIKE.
800-655-6453. Tell Mark and Mike who that is, because we got the smartest.
How about this? How about Choice Hotels?
Is that who it is?
Yeah, the idea being, you know, your business travel.
I've been everywhere. I've been everywhere.
Okay.
Well, now you don't have to text me, but you can text me anyway and tell me why I'm right and Mark's wrong. 800-655-MIKE. Mark, have you ever seen any presidency backfire daily? Like this one keeps back the gas tax
gimmick. Even among its faithful, even Democrats are throwing shade at this 18 cent nonsense.
They're just, it's not, what is that, 18 cents? I mean, are you kidding? Go buy an electric car.
Yeah.
There's nothing that's working for them. No. And you're right. When the Democrats, how about the Fed chairman, Powell, directly contradicting Biden yesterday? By saying, no, gas prices weren't going up as a result of Putin's invasion of Ukraine. How embarrassing is that? That's Biden's Fed. And did you see that clip?
I did.
I mean, just sat there, said, no, it's got nothing to do with Putin. The prices were going up beforehand. I mean, there's nothing. And now the January 6th committee is postponing the final two June hearings until July. Like Red State's Bonchi points out, all of a sudden they got a treasure trove of new evidence.
Oh, they got him now. They got him now, Mike. They found
the walls are closing
stuff.
In.
Right, here we go. It's just a matter of time.
The walls are closing in, right? It's hysterical. Nothing is working. And, you know, I got a great deal of feedback on my question going to Uvalde for a moment about this Arredondo character, how he's not facing criminal charges. I mean, Mark, if you're complicit and you tell officers to stand down and these children are being slaughtered one by... How do you not bring up a criminal charge on this?
Here's the answer I've gotten, because I had a bunch of conversations about this, actually yesterday, with folks with some legal minds, because I said, look, I told them that you and I had talked about this, and America is talking about this, and some negligence seems so, we are so, well, let's make it about us first. We are so hurt. We are so angry. And please, you and I are just on the radio. Think of these families. Think of this community and how they must feel thinking of these children possibly bleeding out as the first responders.
How about the husband whose wife, dying wife, called him and said, come get me. And they detained him and took his gun from him.
Yep. While she died on the other side of that door. So So starting from that, you don't want to reach judicial conclusions based on that kind of anger, and we don't make something illegal just because we're really upset. But some of the folks I've talked to, and you talk to 100 lawyers, get 100 different opinions, but they kind of agreed with what you and I said yesterday, and that is that while, of course, there's no criminal intent on the part of Arredondo or any of these folks, but you said from drunk driving to leaving your kid in the car in the back seat, to Amber Geiger, she thought it was the wrong apartment, shot a guy. There is some negligence that is so egregious that you have actually committed a crime. And
see, I think this is worse than Amber Geiger. I think this is worse than an accident. This is an intentional negligence. This is, I mean, I know there's no intent, obviously no intent to have the kids die, but when you're intentionally, you know, saying, what? Nope,
you're
we're going to wait for,
you,
we're,
you
wait,
are,
we're gonna wait
you
for
are
keys.
Totally onto something, because between the complete accident where there's no criminal negligence.
Right.
And at the
right.
other end is criminal negligence where you want something bad to happen.
Exactly.
In that middle ground is this, where you have something where he didn't want anybody to die. He didn't mean ill will toward anybody, but he simply did not do. It was a crime of omission rather than commission.
Bingo.
Guilt because of what he did not do rather than what he did.
You know, I just got a text. Speaking of the text message, the reason the January 6th committee is delaying, they don't want to go against the Roe v. Wade narrative when that decision is overturned. And it could come today. It could come tomorrow. Listen, I've never been so anxious for a Supreme Court decision in my life, not only because of all the babies that will be saved.
Yep.
But also, I'm scheduled to go to Germany, and I can't miss this, so I'm going to have to broadcast from stinking Germany.
You'll be sitting over there in Munich talking about Roe v. Wade.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Oberammergau. This is the Oberammergau version.
Willkommen auf mein Gallagher Programm.
Well, do you have your papers? Well, I mean, it will be. I know nothing. I'm ready for my Sergeant Scholl imitation, but it could be today or tomorrow. Like you said, it's weird that they added this extra day tomorrow.
What Tom is Strata. That? What is
yeah,
that?
Yeah, they added tomorrow, and it's, so it's today around 9 a.m., you know, we're going to get the first round, and then tomorrow around 9 a.m., which, you know, you and I will be on the airwaves, and we'll break it all down. So, again, hopefully it's going to be. And, you know, let's see. Ted Cruz, Senator Cruz last night on TV, is absolutely predicting the kind of violence we saw post-George Floyd. Not predicting, but, of course, I think he's worried about it.
I've come close to, listen, I wrote my prior Newsweek column begins, no one wants to predict violence. As some of these juries were, you know, deliberating various racially charged police shootings, I didn't want to sit here and say, boy, if this goes the wrong way, you know, there's going to be blood in the streets. And I did not do that. I did not want to do that. And I always want to hope for the best. This one, pretty impossible. Look what's happening to the crisis pregnancy centers. Good-hearted angels among us who are just trying to get women to choose life, and they're getting blood spattered on them, and a bunch of people up there in crayon going, if abortion's not safe, neither are you. This Jane's Revenge group, or as Jesse Waters keeps calling them, Jane's Addiction, which is a 90s band. Anyway, they are domestic terrorists, exactly. So I do not feel good about my country in terms of what happens with Roe v. when Roe v. Wade goes down, if it
Let's stay in the area of not feeling good. Mm-hmm. How about John Cornyn now going to war with the NRA?
Yep. We're not going to let outside groups. We're not going to let outside groups interrupt what we're really constitutional. Mm-hmm. This is in the same category as Cornyn calling us a mob. I haven't caved to mobs, and I know he was being booed at the convention. That's probably who he was talking about. But those were constitutionalists and Second Amendment protectors making clear their dissatisfaction.
He's using a left-wing talking point and an anti-Second Amendment talking point that Democrats have used for decades about the NRA. Mm-hmm. And the NRA is like, well, they oppose any legislation
they
whatsoever.
Stand in the way of every. You can't get anything by these guys.
They're pro-Constitution, and they're certainly pro-Second Amendment. But here, as you said, you played the clip. In the end, Cornyn said, I think they simply, they have a business model that will not allow them to support any legislation.
Stop. Exactly right. A business model.
Business model.
It's not their heartfelt devotion to the Constitution. It's a business model.
And he's using an argument, the counter argument, because I know he's getting bombarded with opposition. There are no red flag. There are no red flag laws in part. Of course there are. Of course there are red flag laws. Is he peeing on our leg and telling us it isn't raining?
Is his point to say, as some have, trying to make us like it, it doesn't create a federal red flag law. No, it doesn't. It sends money we don't have, to the states so that they can rape the Constitution.
Which is as big a gimmick as Biden's federal gas tank holiday.
Damn.
I mean, it's unreal to see what these guys has John Cornyn, and you just said something that gave me chills a few minutes ago. Has he always been like this? Or is it getting worse? What's going on?
I will tell you this. When you do not have to face the voters and may never face them again, John Cornyn is a very youthful 70. Whatever he's doing, we should be doing it, sure. Except strategically. And so when he's up again in 2026, he'll be 74. He may be done. I don't know. He may be done one way or the other. But if when you are not facing – none of these 14, by the way, four of them are retiring. Rob Portman, yep. And Blunt and Burr, and I forget who else, Toomey. So, Toomey voted the first time but not the second time. These folks are not faced – none of them are facing voters this year. When you're not facing voters, you get the real guy. You get the real gal. You get the real person because they're doing what they want to do without fear of repercussion of the ballot box.
You know who's not retiring? Liz Cheney. She's running for re-election. Well, wonder how that's going to work out for her.
I know. Well, I'm scared. It's Wyoming. Yeah, she's a big name. She's done a lot that's good. I think it's all erased by the fact that Trump hatred ate her brain. There is no runoff. And as I've said, Harriet, and it's not Hagerman, it's Hagerman, correct? Everybody in that race should get out and back Harriet. Because one-on-one, she loses. But I fear Liz Cheney, with no runoff, getting 35%, meaning 65% don't want her. But she's got 35, Harriet's got 32, and the rest have the remaining, 20-some. And it's she wins.
I love the fact that... I'm reading from the New York Post about Biden's latest job performance approval rating.
Mm-hmm.
And the survey found that 22% of Americans aged 18 to 34 approve of his performance. 22%. That's the lowest of any age group.
The youngsters.
Listen to this. I watched Myra Flores, that South Texas marvel, on Tucker Carlson last night.
You interviewed her first.
We interviewed her the other day.
Man, she was so great.
Our first interview. She's terrific. She went literally from picking cotton, because a lot of Hispanic, South Texas residents do that. They are in the fields picking cotton. She's now a member of Congress.
That's
now
right.
her district. She's facing redistricting. There's a lot of questions about whether she's going to get to hold on to it. But for now, they put that nameplate on that wall. She is a U.S. Congresswoman. Well, Biden right now, according to the Quinnipiac poll, has a 24% approval rating among Hispanics in America. Mark, 24%. Hispanics have always voted Democrat. That's always been a reliable voting block for the Democrat Party. No more.
It'll be interesting because you know what people have said for decades and decades. It's been pretty true. It's like, boy, it's all about the Hispanic vote. The Hispanic vote is key. The Hispanic vote is the lever on which this election turns. And by the way, that's often been true. I wonder if people will be saying that a lot less now that it looks like Hispanics are turning Republican in large numbers.
How about Black Americans? The Quinnipiac poll says 49% of Black voters approve of Biden's work. That means 51% disapprove.
It used to be 70-80%. But I'll tell you what, there's a still walk of 100 miles before you get these folks voting Republican in 22 and 24. Some of them may just stay home.
Why are you negative, Nancy?
But I don't want to turn all those show me 100 Black folks.
This is good news.
It's very good news, but just don't take all those Black folk or the Hispanic folk disappointed with Biden and say, well, they're definitely going to vote Republican.
Here's what I love about this New York Post article. I got to quote this to you, and you'll love this.
Mm-hmm.
Although elected with the most votes in U.S. history, Biden's support cratered about 7 months into office during the chaotic U.S. pullout from Afghanistan and remained low as inflation and violent crime spiked. I always love that. But by the way, that's a pretty good reminder. Oh, yeah. elected with the most votes in history. Sure he was. Yeah, those 11 people that went to his parking lot rallies really multiplied.
Absolutely.
Like the loaves and the fishes on election day. What they're selling.
And last thing on all those minority voters, it's just a wonderful opportunity to light some energy for Republicans to do what we have not done enough in the past decades, and that's get out into those Black communities, get out into those Hispanic communities and say, hey, and listen, phrase it however you like. What do you got to lose? However you want to phrase it. Say, look, we want your vote because we believe that stronger borders, a strong economy, American energy are good for people of every ethnicity.
I'd vote for you. I'd vote for you.
I love you, man.
All right. Happy Thursday. Love you, man.
Happy Thursday. Care. Mike Gallagher here for you as soon as we're done at 10 on 660 AM The Answer. I love this stuff. June of 1942. Harry James and the orchestra and Sleepy Lagoon. Listen to this guy on the trumpet. Just making it sing. Ain't that something? I think of my mom and dad. I mean, my first musical memories are like, you know, I mean, really solid musical memories are when I'm 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. And this would be my parents when they're 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. So, wow. As the Harry James Orchestra takes us out, here comes the 8 o'clock hour filled with opportunities for you and me for us to get together on these phone lines, 866-660-5759. A couple of moments of weird theater in New York, one involving the destruction of a bunch of vehicles that they could have auctioned off for charity, but New York City Mayor Eric Adams said, nope, we're going to bulldoze them. And another was a weird display of stuff they've confiscated from us at the airport. This time in Syracuse. What point are they trying to make? So matters large and small as we work our way through a Thursday, 866-660-5759. Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.